The book of Revelation is a book that helps us understand Jesus Christ. It shows us Jesus like no other book shows us our Lord. And our purpose is to uncover, to reveal, to unmask, to make manifest the truth of God's holy word. Truth once concealed and sealed is now for the very first time revealed. I want to cover four things with you this evening. First of all, the reason for the revelation. Number two, the recipients of the revelation. Number three, the relay of that revelation. And fourthly, the reward of that revelation. Hopefully you picked up your notes. You're able to jot down a few things this evening as we go through them. But the first thing we want to look at is the reasons for the revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Let me read them for you, and then we'll come back and cover our first point. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. The reasons for the revelation. Two things I want to cover, generally and specifically. First of all, generally, the reason number one is for the purposes of Christ to be revealed. One author says that this is a book that takes you back to the future. And that's true. It takes you all the way back to the writings of John in 95 AD. And he transports us then into the future, that we can see the end of the world. So generally there is the purposes of Christ. God wants you to understand the end. He doesn't want it to be a mystery to you. He wants you to have assurance. He wants you to have confidence. He wants you to know what you believe in. And so he has spelled it out for you in great detail that you might know the end of the world. But specifically, there's another reason, and that is to unveil for us the person of Christ. It's good for us to understand the purposes of Christ, but more importantly, we need to see the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This book is about the shining forth of Jesus Christ. It's about the blazing glory of Christ revealed. It's Christ specifically who is uncovered. The purposes of God for certain are revealed. They are uncovered as well. But in order for us to understand the purposes of Christ, we must understand Christ himself. And so he is revealed in full glory. Remember the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They unveiled Christ in his coming in humiliation. We are able to see the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So as you read through the Gospels, you begin to see Christ in all of his humiliation. But this book unveils Christ in his exaltation. There is a big difference. It's not good enough for us to understand that there was a Savior who came to die for our sins, rose again the third day, ascended up into glory. There's more to it than that. God the Father wants the world to understand that he is the exalted King of the world. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so he wants to unveil for us the person of Christ in all of his glory, that we might bow down before him, that we might worship him and see him and understand the truth of who he is. Over in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, I got my gospel when God gave me the truth about the revelation of Christ. This book is not a revelation from Christ. This book is a revelation of Christ. It tells us about who he is and our response to that person. Which leads us to point number two, the recipients of the revelation. This is very interesting. Who are the recipients of this revelation? Look what it says, verse number one. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. Stop right there. The first recipient, primarily, is the Son of God. God gave this to His Son. Isn't that amazing? It makes you wonder, what does Jesus Christ need that He doesn't have? What does Jesus Christ, the Son of God, need to have God the Father give Him? Because evidently this revelation was given to Him. Him is the as an antecedent, it refers back to Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to Jesus Christ. You say, wow. If you go back with me to Mark chapter 13, remember the Olivet Discourse in Mark's Gospel? It's a lot smaller than it is in Matthew's Gospel. It's just one chapter in Mark 13. And Christ goes through the end times and events and tries to help people to understand the coming of the Lord. And listen to what He says in verse number 29. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that He is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. But of the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. God the Father gave God the Son something very significant. You see, God the Father made a promise, didn't He? He made a promise in eternity past that He would exalt His Son to be the King of the earth, heir to everything the Father possesses. And God has given Him the great revelation of His glory to come, a full disclosure of what will happen when He returns. This is His reward. This is His reward for being a faithful son, for being an obedient son. And God the Father now rewards him. And what has happened is now that reward has been put in a record that you and I now are able to eavesdrop on what that reward is. When someone receives an inheritance, that inheritance is usually sealed, and no one knows about it until the day of its actual opening. And usually only those who open it know about it. But God the Father wanted to make sure that all of us were able to see what the inheritance was. And so He unveiled it for all of us to see. It's almost as if we are eavesdropping on a private conversation between God the Father and God the Son. When God the Father would outline to His Son all that was going to happen in the future, how He would receive His full glory, and everyone would subject themselves to Him and worship Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are listening to that conversation between God the Father and God the Son. He lets us in on it. He is the primary recipient of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ was faithful in His humiliation. God the Father is faithful in His exaltation. But secondarily, there is a second group that are recipients of this revelation. The Bible tells us in verse number one, it says what? Which God gave Him to show to His bondservants. Primarily, it was for His Son. Secondarily, it was for His slaves, His servants. Now, a bondservant. What's a bondservant? If you read Exodus chapter 21, you realize that a bondservant was one who was so committed to his master that he or she would want to stay with him forever. And so they would go to their master and say, it would be my privilege to serve you for the rest of my life. And that master would take his servant over and take the earlobe of his ear and push it up against the doorpost and nail it to that doorpost as a symbol of that slave's commitment to its owner. You see, they would serve their master out of love and devotion, not out of duty or some kind of responsibility. There was great love and admiration for their master, and they wanted to be with him forever. And Christ says to us that this was given to me primarily, and to those who are committed to me, those who love me, and those who want to serve me, those who do it because they love me, not because they are in fear and trepidation of who I am. No, they have given their lives to me. And is that not the mark of the Christian? Someone who is totally committed to God, that they want to serve him no matter what it costs. When we gave our life to Christ, we said, God, our life is yours. We want to serve you forever. That's a bondservant. And that's who this book is given to. This book was never given to the unbeliever. Never. That's why the unbeliever doesn't understand it. That's why the unbeliever misrepresents it. It's not for the unbeliever. It's only for the believer. Now, there are unbelievers who will listen to it. There will be unbelievers who will hear it preached. And there will be unbelievers who get saved because of the words in it. But it was never specifically intended for the unbeliever. It's only for his son and for the slaves of God. That's what the text says. There are some things that are concealed to the unbeliever. Some things they never receive. In fact, over in Matthew chapter 13, when Christ was on earth, he began to speak in parables. And it says in verse number 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Over in Matthew 24:42, our Lord's words were, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Be on the alert, because no one knows the day of his return. Thirdly, let's look at the relay of this revelation. How did we get it? Very fascinating. Unlike anything else in the New Testament, this is different. It says this, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant, John. How was this truth relayed? Number one, by his angel. Number two, to the apostle, John. Do you know this is the only book in the New Testament that was communicated by an angel? Only one. That's fascinating. That's unbelievable. It was communicated by an angel, transmitted by angels. Do you know what else was transmitted by angels? Acts 7:53, the law of Moses. Astounding. Revelation 22:16. Christ says these words. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. Christ says, I sent my angel. I sent my angel to communicate to you the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book mentions angels 71 times, more than any other book in the Bible. This book is about angels. We'll see how powerful angels are. We'll see how prominent these angels are in playing out the part of God's redemptive plan, and how they are involved in the tribulation period in a very significant kind of way. But this relay was by his angel to his apostle, John. John, it says. Now, I don't know when the last time was you read the Gospel of John, but you know John never mentions his name in that Gospel. Never once does he mention his name, John. He just says, the disciple in whom Jesus loved. That's all he said. But here, he gives us his name. In fact, over in verse 9, look what it says. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos. So he mentions his name again. It's almost as if he is absolutely amazed that he would receive this revelation. Can you believe it? I, John? It could have been somebody else, but no, it's me, it's John. I received this revelation. An apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the brother of James, the son of Zebedee, who is now exiled on the island of Patmos. Why is he there? Why is John on the island of Patmos? He's 80 years of age. He was just a teenager when Christ was around. But now, all of a sudden, he's 80 years of age. He's exiled on this island called Patmos all by himself. Why is he there? The Bible tells us in verse number 2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. You know why John was there? Because he was a faithful witness. He was a faithful witness. Remember over in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1, what's it say? What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. You see, John was a faithful witness. What he saw, he wrote about. What he heard, he wrote about. What he touched, he wrote about. He wrote about it accurately. He was a faithful witness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ are the exact same thing. He was a faithful deliverer of that which is true. That's why he was exiled on the island of Patmos. He was faithful to God. He was committed to his God. What an amazing testimony to the faithfulness of God. And lastly, the reward. The reward. This is what's going to bring you back each week. This is it. It says in verse number 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. This book begins with a promise. And that promise is the promise of blessing. This book also ends with a promise. And that is the promise of blessing. Revelation 22, verse number 7. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. It is the only book in the entire Bible that begins and ends with a blessing. Only one. Why is that? Because whenever you see Jesus, you're blessed. That's why. Whenever you recognize him, you can't help but fall down before him, and God blesses your life. Blessing comes through reading, through hearing, and through keeping. It says, blessed is he who reads. Before the Bible was in print, not everybody used to have a copy of the Bible. So the preacher had to get up and read it. That's why Paul would say over in 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attention to the reading of the scriptures. Why? Because not everybody had a Bible. Not everybody had a copy of all the letters. So Christ says, blessed are those who read. The one who gets up and reads this book gets a blessing. Do you know that if you go home and you begin to read through the book of Revelation, you get blessed? There are people who read through the Bible but never read the book of Revelation because they think it's too hard to understand. And you know what? They miss out on a blessing because God wants to bless their life. Blessed are those who read. And that promise is true for those who read the simple message today. And then number two, blessed are those who hear. Blessed is the one, he who reads, and then it changes those who hear. So evidently, somebody would get up and read this to the churches, and they then in turn would hear it. So the blessing then goes further from the one who just reads it to all those who then hear it. Guess what? Because you came tonight and hear the reading of the book of Revelation, your life is blessed. Can you imagine all the people who didn't come, who missed out on the blessing? They missed it. They missed the blessing. Something else is more important to them. They got something bigger on the agenda. They don't want to be blessed by God. Think about it. You're here because you want to be blessed. You're here, and because you are here, you are blessed. If you hear the word, you're blessed. That's what Christ says. It says over in Luke 8:18, be careful how you hear. Over in Mark chapter 4, verse number 24, take care what you hear. It's important for us to understand what we hear. We hear all kinds of music on the radio. We hear all kinds of things on the TV. We hear all kinds of things. And so the scriptures come up with warnings. Be careful about how you hear and what you hear. But it says if you hear this, if you hear the words of this prophecy, you're blessed. You're blessed. God is going to bless your life because you are here tonight to hear the word of this book. Then it goes on and says, and blessed are those who heed the things which are written in it. Those who keep it. Those who are obedient to it. You can read it. You can hear it, and you can leave without obeying it, and you'll miss the blessing. But if you read it, or you listen to someone who does read it, and you obey it, Christ says, you're blessed. You become the blessed one. You've responded to the challenges of the text. And those who respond are blessed. Back over in Luke chapter 8, it says in verse number 19, and his mother and his brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Think about the implications of that. Here is Christ. Hey, Jesus, your mom's calling. She's out in the corridor. She wants to see you. Your brothers are there too. They want to see you too. Christ says, you want to know who my real mother and my real brothers are? Those who hear and obey the word of God. Do you know what? Your Christian friends are sometimes much more closer to you than your family will ever be because they don't know the Lord. Or you might be physically related to them. But Christ says, the most important of all relationships is not physical. It's spiritual. Those who hear and obey the word of God. Then it says over in Luke chapter 11, verse number 28, these words. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. As you go through the book of Revelation, you need to ask yourself, what has been revealed to me about my Lord? That's question number one. And number two, what am I going to do about it? If you come, ask and answer just two questions every week, you'll be blessed. Because you would have read the book, you would have heard the book, and you would have kept the book. You would have been obedient to the book, the words of God. And God promises blessing upon your life. Are you ready? If he comes tonight, are you ready to go with him? Or would you miss him? I trust that you are ready for the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray.